say on another level, could we say that because we are unstable and unsure, that Christ becomes that anchor because we're there? See, that's another way.
Oh, yes, it could. It ain't could go both ways.
It ain't you putting the anchor out. It's that he has become an anchor.
He has become an anchor. But, okay, here's the way that I'm looking at it this way.
That's what I want.
He has become that anchor, sure. But the thing is, a lot of us don't realize that he is that anchor. So, therefore, we get in despair. And, you know, our minds start wondering. We start wavering. And sometimes we just give up. Not realizing that that anchor is right there.
So we don't realize that the anchor is there.
Yeah.
But the thing about it is, it ultimately comes back to our remembrance about who he is. And that's what made that anchor what it is in the first place. Because while you thought you were drifting away. And out there, all of a sudden, that boat tugged. Because it's stuck on a point. And realize that it's tied or anchored. Into Christ. You understand what I'm saying? Because it's what he is doing. That's
it's not what we have done.
That's right. That's
it's
right.
It's not about us. But we're going to wave. Him.
That's what that looking like to me. Now, y'all, you know, might got a different opinion.
Well, you're right. We're going to wave. I don't know that nobody like that ain't waving.
Look like we're going to wave. I don't know about y'all, but I wave. I don't care. I'm going to worry about that. I'm going to wave because, you know, we on the top looking at this thing back and forth. We're looking at Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, Jordan.
And I think
we didn't want to get started without you, so we looked at something Harry was studying.
When our minds is not renewed, you know, and as we're waving, look at
Oh, hey, that's good.
Then, like you said, the anchor, and then it's going to yank you right back to calmness. But then something else will come. But then, as you begin to keep reading the word, your mind keep getting renewed and renewed, and the anchor is still connected.
That's
you're still there.
That's right. So. Because to me, that anchor is the point where when you forget to read, and all of a sudden you say, I need to read. That's because that anchor is there. See, that's where I'm looking at. I may be looking at it wrong, but you say, when you out somewhere, you doing whatever, then all of a sudden you say, you know what, this ain't me. See, there goes that anchor. You thought you were out there. You thought you were, you understand what I'm saying? But all of a sudden, there goes that anchor. Now, our length of when that anchor catches us, could be at different points.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking about.
You understand what I'm saying? And that link, that, you know, that length of that chain or whatever could have me out there. That link, all of a sudden, it hooks.
It don't mean that you won't anchor, but it's just was out there.
That's right.
And I believe it also hints to the duality of man, because you have man on the surface, and then you have another you that's the in-depth version of you, the you that's beneath the surface, which actually I look at that as being your conscience. You know, many times what happens is when we make those mistakes or we, you know, are deceived or tricked, it's because many times what we do is we listen to the version of us that's on the surface instead of the internal in-depth side of us, which is the conscience.
You know what I'm saying?
Where I feel like the surface thinks, but the spirit knows, you know what I'm saying? That's where that conscience comes into place. You know, it gives you that right decision, but many times we don't heed to that right decision. You know what I'm saying? That's kind of the way I look at it. And also from another perspective, I look at it like, you know, when you look at the universe, when you look at all of the planets are kept into balance by the sun, by the gravitational pull of the sun. So the sun actually becomes that anchor that's keeping everything into place.
That's a good one.
You know what I'm saying? And I feel like that's how he is. He keeps us into alignment, into place.
Keeps us in alignment.
You know what I'm saying?
That made me think of Junior's testimony when you were sharing with us the other night. When we were listening to that song, you were sharing with us. And that made me think about that anchor right there when you shared it.
Yeah.
Because you were out there doing your music, whatever, but that anchor was there. You might didn't realize it, might didn't recognize it, might didn't, you know what I'm saying? At certain points, it might have hit you, you know, this right here ain't me, or this don't look like me, but all of a sudden, that anchor pulled. You know what I'm saying? It brought everything right back into, you know, a line.
That's powerful.
That's good. Chew on that some more, come back with it.
No doubt, my brother, no doubt.
That's a good one, though. That's a good one. All right, now that Junior here, we're going to hit on, we'll go back to what we were studying. We've been studying the Genesis chapter 1. We actually been on verse
one,
two,
okay.
Or like
4 minutes.
Off of the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, yeah,
that's two or 3 weeks.
About 4 hours.
They
can know she can
jump over there at any time.
Yeah, I can
jump over there. She'll be in there. We've
been out there
for a while.
Yes, sir. We have.
Like a lifetime.
Some good stuff up in there.
Yeah,
some
good
stuff up in there.
Yeah, we done went all the way around the world on that.
Let's go around again, my brother.
Let's go around again.
Yes, sir.
Well, you cannot disagree with a man who talks like that.
That's right.
Boy, you so crazy.
Jimmy, why don't you go ahead and lead us in prayer, man?
Oh, what's that, man? Oh, Father God, we come to you, God, to thank you, God. God, we thank you, God, for most, God, our yesterdays, God, for being the counselor, God, in Jesus' name, God. We thank you, God, for all things. We thank you, God, for the breath of life, in Jesus' name, God. We come to you right now, God, and tonight, God, that you will be able to open up our minds and our understanding, God, that we'll be able to not just get what's on the surface, God, but be able to get what's in the core of you, God. In Jesus' name, God, be able to let your will and not our will be done. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
All right. Let's start this off kind of prophetically. We'll go to the
The way you said that, brother. Come
here. Psalm 74. Psalm 74. 16. Somebody read that for me. Psalm
74:16. 16. I might have fell in love with this speed Bible.
Yeah,
brother.
Yeah, that speed Bible, good.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we're gonna open it up. With, you know, because every time you discuss the Word of God, you really got to get into it. You got to get on the pages of it. You got to feel the sacredness of what's being written. Because the mind of God on paper. It says, the day is thine, and the night also is thine. And thou hast prepared the light and the sun. The reason why I think that's powerful, opening up, when we get ready to go here, when it says in Genesis 1, and it says, let there be light. I think that's powerful when it says, the day is thine, and the night is thine. Thing about it is that sometimes we... You know, we think with God, you know, with God, it's always going to be light. Mm. He's the Father of lights. We're going to look at that scripture tonight as well.
James.
So he's the Father of lights. Mm-hmm. You know, and the thing about it is that light for him is everything.
That's it.
It ain't just when it's light for you, when you have understanding. God has understanding.
That's it.
You know, God has understanding when things are completely dark for us. Mm-hmm. When the light's off for you, it's still on for him. And they never go off of him. Mm. I mean, he don't just possess knowledge, he is knowledge. Mm. God don't possess wisdom, he is wisdom. Mm. He don't possess understanding, he is understanding. You know, and that's that. Sometimes that's the powerful thing we got to realize when it comes to God. You know, when things are at their darkest, that don't mean they're at their darkest for God, they're at their darkest for you in that hour because you don't have a light on the situation.
Mm.
So this light here is the divine light that creates all the universe. We started looking at it last week, but we're going to really dive into it now. Let's look at it. Genesis chapter 1. Genesis is always the seed, the genes, I like to call it. It's the beginnings. In the Hebrew, they would call it the beginnings of God, not just, you know, the beginning. You don't have a really, you know, after being able to when God did anything. Anything anybody want to say about that? Let's talk here for a minute. We're supposed to have a discussion here. So if any time the Spirit hits you, you want to say something, or you know, you feel a moment of to input some knowledge, do that, because we're all here to learn from each other. You know, I'm here to guide these course, but you know, hey, we all here not as students, we're here as teachers amongst teachers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so don't you know, we all become students here around this table.
And does it show in this verse, you know, what I'm looking at, he kind of separates the natural light from the spiritual light. You know what I'm saying? Because it says thou thou hast prepared the light and the sun.
That's right.
So that shows a difference between the two. Mm-hmm. You know, that he's just not talking about the natural. You know, there's a spiritual thing that he's talking about as well.
That's powerful.
You know what I'm saying? That's kind of just what I saw.
That's right. That's right. That's right. You saw a lot when you saw that. You saw a lot. Genesis chapter 3, it says, and God said, let there be light. We looked at it just to do a little review, just to pick us up where we were, make sure that we on pace here. Remember what we said before in verse 2, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. To me, we sort of built that upon us and our life, the humanity. That earth we looked at is at that without form and void, and darkness upon the face of the deep. Remember, we looked at that, just do a small review, we looked at that as, you know, being without purpose. Not knowing anything about God, being void, being empty, you know, upon the face of the deep means our spirit was that way. And the spirit of God moved upon the face of the water. The reason why that was so powerful is because we first looked at last leap that God was moving while the darkness was there, while there was nothing there. Sometimes we feel there was nothing to work with, but God was already moving before he ever said anything. Before he ever said something, he did something. That's what we were sort of looking at. A lot of times we say stuff before we do it. God is just the opposite. We can see that right out from the outset. That while the lights were off, God was already moving. The Spirit of God was already making preparation for the light. And that's what's so powerful about this. Because even while things were without form and void, even while things were without darkness, you know, the darkness, God was still moving in the face of all of that. You know, he was still moving upon the face of the water. And then God says something. While he was moving, had been moving the whole time, then he says something. And that's powerful because we have to do the same thing. You know, before we begin to speak, we've got to move. We've got to prepare. That's the thing about it is. And I like about this is that that's the process of God. We talked about that one time before. Is that that's one of the powerful things about God. The Bible says that God commanded light to shine out of darkness. That's a principle. Mm-hmm. It will always start off dark and chaotic and without order. It will always be the mess before the message. It will always be that way, scattered. It looks like God don't know what he's doing. Mm-hmm. I mean, you understand what I'm saying? Y'all can talk on it, you know, because it looks like a lot of times in our life, it looks like things that are happening in our life don't have a purpose or a reason at all. You know, one thing, we had a powerful discussion the other night, and we looked at it, and that really touched me too, fellow, when we had that discussion the other night, because the powerful thing about it is, out of that, we begin to see that we live a manifold, many-purposeful life. Mm. A lot of times, we look for one purpose. We look for one thing to do, one great event. God is raising me up for one moment. You know, we say that in church all the time. God is raising up this church to do. Or God has raised me up to do. But we don't look at the manifold, the many-fold, or the many purposes for which God created this for. You know, I'm a father to my kids, you know. But the thing about it is, to my co-workers, I'm somebody else. Mm-hmm. To somebody else. You understand what I'm saying? To my grandparents, I'm somebody else. I serve many purposes. I serve many things. You understand what I'm saying? We come around this table, this is another purpose. You understand what I'm saying here? But each time, each moment that I live, I'm fulfilling a purpose of God at that given period of time. It's just for us, it don't look as glamorous. That's it. It don't look as staged. Mm-hmm. You understand what I'm saying? Nobody sees it. But you're serving a purpose. You understand, well, of God. So there's many manifold purposes. I think some of us always look for that Joseph moment. You know, that rising to the occasion moment. Oh, you understand what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But we're not looking at the many purposes that everybody else served around them for that great moment to be. You understand what I'm saying? You know, even the famine has a purpose. And making sure that he gets to that throne the way he does. You know, even Pharaoh has a purpose. You understand what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So everybody has a what? A purpose. But let's look at Romans chapter 9. Come on here. Somebody get on in there with me. Swim on in this pool.
That's powerful.
I'm going to keep turning the water until somebody jump in.
Boy, you crazy.
I mean, how many people tell you that? I'm rising. I got to. How many? Sir, I've been in many services over the years. God, I can't tell you how many. I got a mandate on my life. You know, I'll tell you quick. I got a mandate on my life. You know, Well, you had a mandate this morning. You had a mandate when you saw your boss this morning. You had a mandate when you saw your employees. You had a mandate. Oh, you understand what I'm saying? You had many mandates or many purposes. Some you missed and some you didn't. Yeah, come on. I could go somewhere with that. Yeah. And the ones you missed on purpose. Mm. Oh, my God.
They were purposeful missing it.
That's right. That's powerful.
That's powerful, man.
We don't like to look at that. That was a purpose for missing.
There are no mistakes. You know,
that's right. There are no mistakes. Every place that you happen, and that's powerful. Harris said that. That brings me back to that point. The thing about it is that everything that you did, either right or wrong, led you to a certain moment. You understand what I'm saying? Led you to a moment. You know, we wouldn't be here around this table and knowing each other without every moment in our life coming together.
That's
be it wrong choices or right choices, they still got you around this table tonight. There's a purpose to everything. You know. So the thing about it is that, see, this is the thing about it. We allude to that scripture all the time that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord and are called according to His purpose. Mm-hmm. The thing about it is we never look at it in the context of God, because God is no He's on every end. He's Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. He's everything in between. He feels everything, right? Let's look at Romans chapter 9, and I want to look at verse 15. Let's start right there. I'm going to read 15 through 17. For he said unto Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. And I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. My God. Y'all better leave this alone. Get out of this right here. Stay out of that Romans chapter 9. So then it is not of him that willeth. Come on. Ain't that powerful? It ain't got nothing to do with your will. So it's not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth. Somebody said, I'm running on. Run on. It ain't got nothing to do with him that runneth. I took my will to do his will. Okay, good. But it ain't got nothing to do with it. But of God that what?
Show us mercy.
For the scripture said unto Pharaoh, even for the same what?
Purpose
have I raised thee up. Let's read it one more time. For the scripture said unto Pharaoh, even for the same purpose have I raised thee up. So who raised Pharaoh?
He did.
Come on here. God did. That I might show my power in thee. Come on here. That my name might be declared throughout all the earth. Come on here. What Pharaoh has God raised up in your life? What Pharaoh, or should I say Pharaohs?
Pharaohs.
Come on.
That's about
That God might declare or show his power. See, a lot of times we don't look at it, but a lot of times even your enemies, even your setbacks have been raised up by God that God might display his power in them. So they have a what? A purpose. Y'all better jump on it here. Y'all better jump on it here. That's why, maybe that's why Jesus said love your enemies. Maybe there's a purpose to it.
That kind of sends me to what Jesus said to Judas, you know, at the table. It's like, whatever you do it quickly. Because what you're about to do is going to serve my purpose. You know what I'm saying? So even, like you said, even your enemies, they have a purpose. You know what I'm saying? Your enemies may get you to where you need to be in God.
Be careful with that.
Sir.
Be careful with that. Or what has become an enemy to you. Sometimes it ain't got to be a purpose. A person. It could be, you know, it could be something that is dead set. It could be your past. It could be you.
That's right.
Can you love you? And you have become your own worst enemy. Can you still love you?
That's powerful. That's powerful.
Yeah.
Come on here, jump on in there, stretch that a little bit.
That's powerful.
Can you still love you even though you keep making the same mistake? Can you love you? You have become your own worst enemy, but can you still love you? Can you still look in the mirror and forgive yourself? Come on here.
And I believe, man, that's one of the main tools of the enemy is that guilt. And that condemnation upon yourself, you know what I'm saying? To me, that is the very force that actually cripples you, is when you get caught up in that guilt and that self-hatred.
That's
you know what I'm saying? Because truly, without that, with that self-hatred, you never gain self-knowledge.
That's right. That's right.
And you know, self-knowledge is, to me, is the chief knowledge of all.
That's
you
right.
know what I'm saying? You can never truly live a purposeful life if you don't know who you are. Because right. knowing who you are is always going to tie back to who Christ is.
That's right. That's right.
You,
right.
you know
that's
what I'm right. saying? So can that's you right. love yourself and can you love the Christ that's within you?
That's right. That's right.
You know what I'm saying? That's kind of right. how I look at it, man.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's why they assume many different purposes. Mm-hmm. See, a lot of time in the Grand Rapids Church, we've limited it to one thing. You understand what I'm saying? And we have, you know, we have limited ourselves so much. You know, we have limited ourselves in what God wants to do us through us so much because we look for so many big moments mm-hmm. instead of these small moments that are big. Mm-hmm. You understand what I'm saying? It's just the dimension in which you look at them. You understand what I'm saying here?
Yes,
that's what becomes powerful. You know, for you, is speaking to 500 people more personal or speaking to that one person that you see every day?
See, and I think...
good.
And I think as Christians, we have it backwards. Because, you know, everybody wants to speak in the church. You know, and like you said, you may be passing somebody going to church, and maybe God said, go to that person and do something. But you're saying, I got to go. I got to be there. You know, I'm on my post. But then you passing the very purpose, you know, where you're supposed to be speaking. But you're thinking, I have to be in here, you know, get in front of these people. I got to do this, and I got to do that. And you're passing,
That's
the purpose of God is calling you to do. You know,
that's so powerful.
Yeah, because you miss your post going. Mm-hmm. You miss the post trying to get to the post.
Mm-hmm.
But that ain't the real post.
that's so powerful because so many people mm-hmm. look for purpose instead of knowing that they are purpose.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Say that again.
So many that's people powerful. Look for purpose, not knowing that they are purpose.
Oh, mm-hmm.
you know what I'm saying?
Mm.
Like so many of us try to get to a certain place, like she just said, but maybe the person that you was to come in contact with was before you got to the church.
That's right.
Maybe it's so
right. You know what I'm saying?
That's right. Maybe you could just be who you are, and maybe purpose will come to you. I mean, that's another thing. That's another way of looking at it.
Yeah.
You know, look at it from another direction. I'm gonna tell you what gets me here because when I think about those 12 disciples, and I think about them. Mm-hmm. Now, them boys were about the roughest boys you could have in the world to get. Mm-hmm. But the thing about it is, this is a powerful thing about me when it comes to the dynamics of the kingdom. They weren't looking for it. Mm-hmm. And you notice that most people in Scripture weren't looking for what came to them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They weren't people that were somewhere certain. Now, you look at the Pharisees, and they were striving to get everything God was doing. Yeah. You understand what I'm saying? Yeah. But these boys were out fishing. Mm-hmm. They were out fishing when Christ came to them.
Mm.
Christ came to them. Mm-hmm. They were out fishing, mm-hmm. and Christ just came to them and says, Follow me.
And then we forget, why do we come to, quote, unquote, the building,
mm-hmm.
you know, and we think that, you know, we're supposed to get everybody saved in that one amount of time, you
that's
know,
right.
that
that's right.
we all come to church in this one building.
That's mm-hmm. right.
But like you said, you can be in a grocery store.
Mm-hmm.
You
right.
know, you can be anywhere in purpose, mm-hmm. like I said, will come up to mm-hmm. you.
That's right.
And that opportunity now opens for you
that's
to,
right.
then us forcing to open up the mm-hmm. opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, God, you ain't never seen him throw anything to anybody.
That's right.
You know, he always been gentle. He's yeah. a gentle,
that's
lovable,
right.
you know, God.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that's powerful because you're right. They weren't looking for it. They weren't like they were saying, I got to get up this morning and go to church or go to the synagogue or whatever. You know, they were where they were, being who they were when Christ came to them.
Mm-hmm.
And what I mean, and I'm looking at Christ as the purpose, as the mind of God.
Mm-hmm.
The mind of God came to them. The word of God came to them.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you understand mm-hmm. what I'm saying here? Mm-hmm. They come to a purpose. The kingdom of God walked up to them
mm-hmm.
and said, follow me. That's what's so powerful about it, too. It just walked up to them and said, follow me. And they weren't looking. So a lot of times we're looking so hard for something mm-hmm. that we look right over it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I do that all the time with some keys or anything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, damn. You look so hard for it, you're looking right
yeah.
what?
Yeah.
Over what you're
it.
Looking for. And it ain't lost.
Yeah,
it's been there the whole time.
Mm-hmm. That's
you
know, it.
You looking over every day. How many great purposes have we looked over? Trying to find purpose. How many people have we looked over that we're trying to find ministry? How many you understand what I'm saying? And you take it on down the line, it becomes a ladder for our life.
Then it goes, you know, definitely what you were saying, man. It's like, you know, we have, each day we have purposes through God, man, and how God sees things, man, because we can definitely, as Christians, believers, can limit ourselves on one thing and try to reach that goal. But like you definitely say, you definitely brought it out, man, you know. And what I believe, you know, we are in position, and everything else has a position also. You feel what I'm saying? To be able to be, to be in that position and be able to play in that position. You That's know, right. Like definitely you was talking about, I brought it up, you know, by the donkey being lost. And, you know, that wasn't a coincidence. It was on purpose.
It was on purpose.
You know, and that's so powerful. Or just to the point of when some Christians believe that enter into the house on one day a week instead of being able to enter into God's real house, true house, every day. Because it's everywhere where you go.
That's right.
Enter into his real house.
That's right.
And that's
right.
Powerful.
That's right.
You know, so it's really about being in position, man, and knowing where you are, man. That's powerful.
That's powerful. That's powerful.
Yes, sir.
What's wrong, bro?
What's get wrong? You into the conversation here.
A minute. Don't you see? I might not be saying nothing.
That's powerful, though, man. Because, man, when I look at that scripture in John, it talks about the Word became flesh. You know, you know, he was actually the Word, but I feel like we are a Word that became flesh.
Uh-huh.
You know what I'm saying? And I feel like, you know, like we talked, like we broke down that Word, you know, actually in the Greek, like we talked about, it's the Logos, the logic of God. I feel like, man, everywhere that we go, I mean, I feel like I told you before, like one of the most profound posters I've ever seen was, it says that, minister to everyone you come in contact with. Use words if necessary.
That's power.
You know what I'm saying?
Say that one more time.
Necessary. Minister to everyone you come in contact with. Use words if necessary. Meaning that, you know, our actions, the way that we carry ourselves, our nature should be minister to someone. You know, and that actually goes into what you were saying, is that we become purpose.
That's right.
You know, we are a Word became flesh. There is through our lips, there's a voice, there's a message that God has to get out that he couldn't get out or reveal through anyone else except you.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying?
That's right.
And that's so powerful, man. And I think that the way that we look at things is we truly need to alter the way we look at things, because the way that I look at it, when we went over, I believe it was in Luke, when it talks about the lily of the field, you know, and it talked about the lily of the field, and, you know, was more arrayed than Solomon in all of his glory.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So therefore, you know, many times what we would do, the main message that God may be trying to reveal to us, we may be walking past that each and every day trying to get to the temple.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so the very small things in your life could carry more significance than the things that you deem as being so important.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So it may be a message that God may be trying to give you right when you're watching your kids play at home. You know what I'm saying? Being able to see God in everything, you know, goes with that scripture.
That's powerful.
If the eye is single, then the whole body is full of life.
That's right.
You know, referring to being able to see God in everything.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying?
That's powerful.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead. Just jump right over there.
And that's why, you know, somebody can say, it's something different about you, even though you're not dressed up. You know what I mean? You have on the same clothes they got on. You know, you can be working beside them. They say, it's just something different about you. You know, about you. And then, you know, the opportunity comes. You know, like you said, the necessary words. Then the opportunity opens. But they can be watching you the whole time. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
The whole time. You really not knowing of it until... They approach you.
While we sit there, what I saw in the vision, I saw a hand, and I saw us being his fingerprints. You know, his actual, you know, the fingerprints are so unique, because that's the first thing they take from it. You know what I'm saying? When you go down the criminal, they want to know your identity. They take your fingerprint.
Where you're going.
So if Jesus is the hand of God,
okay.
You understand what I'm saying? Then we become his fingerprint. At that moment in which someone is touched by us, do we leave his fingerprint?
Identity.
And that can't be what's said. That's got to be by a touch.
Oh.
And that touch powerful. Can't be. You understand what I'm saying? You understand what I'm saying? That's what you literally see. Had we left an imprint, had we left a fingerprint there, you know, when they go to the fingerprints, they can go back to image and they can go back to see who it is. Well, is it your fingerprint or his that you powerful. Left on that person?
That's powerful.
Did you give your personal opinion of what you think God should be like, which is a mistaken identity, or did you leave something that if somebody go back, they can go back and say, you know what, they were touched by Jesus.
That reminds me of, you know, the woman with the disease.
Ah, that's right.
That's powerful.
That's right.
And St. Matthew, if I'm not mistaken, 9 and 20.
Come on here.
When, you know, and Jesus said, who touched, you know, he said, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, I was made whole.
Right.
And he want to know who actually, you like you said, the fingerprint, you know. So this something to add up to.
Because when we touch someone, we touch them through our actions. And we touch them by who we are, you know, and who we are, we're not trying to be Christ. We are Christ. You know, and I think the problem is when we always trying to be Jesus. Instead of knowing that you don't have to religiously try to be Jesus, you just be you, and Jesus will shine through you, and he is you. You understand what I'm saying here? So you don't have to act in a pious way or go around with 50 million scriptures, you know, when you know what I'm saying? Having an attitude of joy, having an attitude of peace, having the fruit of the Spirit, you understand what I'm saying? That patience, that long suffering, or whatever it may be, you understand what I'm saying here, actually leaves his fingerprints on the scene. You understand what I'm saying? And everywhere you go, you leave his fingerprint. And they ain't got to be, you understand what I'm saying, because you carry his nature, his hand in the scene when you come. You understand what I'm saying? Even though that's not always, you know, recognized, it's still left there.
Right. And that's the same way Jesus carried himself about when he, you know, was amongst the Pharisees and the people. He didn't make himself of a reputation. He just did what he was supposed to do. He was who he was.
That's right.
And he left his fingerprints. I mean, he was the fingerprint, and he left his word, and it left, you know, it touched the people's hearts.
That's right.
And he, you know, changed people's lives.
And that's powerful.
What did he say in Scripture? By this man then know that you have that you are my disciples, that you have love towards one another. So like they just be just having love towards you that they'll see it, but they'll be able to see it when we have it toward one another. That brings us back to the Ark of the Covenant. That brings us back to the cherubims on that Ark of the Covenant that touched each other without looking. They had love toward one another. And the thing about it is, he said that's how they'll know. Well, what does the Ark of the Covenant represent? The presence of God. How would they be able to know the presence of God is in the midst if there's a people that are not looking at each other but yet loving toward one another? And there he is right there in the midst where two or three are gathered in my name, my nature. That's his nature. His nature is love. He didn't say you would know it by the miracles. He didn't say you would know it by the name of the church. He didn't know you by the denomination. You won't know it by how many scriptures they will quote, how much Hebrew and Greek they'll be able to put in. You understand what I'm saying? None of these things. It's just one simple way that you would know it. Is that love flows back and forth one to another.
Because
that's how you would know that they are disciplined. That's how you would know that they are my disciples. The disciplined ones. The ones who are under my tutelage. Under my teaching. That's how you will know them. They have love one towards another. And that's not, you can't say that for a lot of the church.
That's powerful.
That's so true.
And
you can, you might have one or two that will flow it one way, but to have it going back and forth.
That's
the thing. It's toward one another. It ain't just you loving somebody else. It's when that person could reach back with that same love and give it back. And when there is an exchange of love there.
That's what I think about him. Oh, I think you're about to say something.
Go ahead, man.
That was powerful.
From glory to glory. From faith to
faith. That's what I was about to say.
And actually, I'm just saying, per se, Christians, you know, like you're saying, love, we don't love one another. I see that we're not loving the Christ that's in you. So if we say we love, I should be loving Jesus in you, and you should love the Jesus in me. You know what I'm saying? So it's God, like looking at
you take
Jesus
in himself
right in you. So uh-huh. therefore, I have to love because the same in you is the same in me.
That's right. That's
right. That's right.
That's
reflection. That's right. That's what's so powerful about the charity. They weren't looking at each other. Mm-hmm. Oh. See, they were looking at the blood. Mm-hmm. That's what's so powerful about that mercy seat. You know, and that ties into Romans 9, where it says he will have mercy upon whom he will have mercy. Mm-hmm. And the thing about it is that they weren't looking at each other. See, we keep looking at each other. Mm-hmm. It's the filter through which you see somebody. Mm-hmm. See, we take the word. We take the word and try to see somebody through this word.
That's it, right there.
And we look at through the word and say, you ain't lining up.
Yeah, like,
that's come on.
That's right.
You don't think we do that. You say, you know what? You laughing about that? That Jesus will laugh about that.
That's powerful. Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying? So we looking at them through the filter of the word instead of looking at them and not looking at them at all. Mm. See, what they looked at, them two cherubs, what they looked at was that blood that flowed in between. While their wings were, you know, while their wings were outstretched, they never stared at one another.
Yes.
You know, they just looked at the blood. Their vision was here. Mm-hmm. Our vision goes here. Mm-hmm. And guess what? If I'm just standing up looking at you, come here for a minute. I'm just standing up looking at you, and you stand up looking at me. You understand what I'm saying? Then we judge one another. Mm-hmm.
Sure.
You understand what I'm saying here? And we ain't thinking about the blood.
Sure.
We're just looking at one another. And then we're just looking at each other through religious eyes because we're putting up this Bible. Mm-hmm. We're trying to look at you through this. Mm-hmm. And he said, well, that don't line up with, you don't see what I'm saying? Uh-huh. Instead of having, you know, instead of looking down at the blood.
Yeah. Oh, Jesus.
That's wrong.
You see what I'm saying? That's the power thing. That's the vision. They looked at the blood. They didn't look at each other. They looked at the blood. Mm-hmm. That's why they could touch in the heavens. Mm-hmm. That's why they were a part of the mercy seat. Mm-hmm. So it tells me of people that's going to be a part of this mercy seat that are mature, that are in the third room. Mm-hmm. They have more mercy than anybody mm-hmm. because they're not looking at.
They're looking at the blood.
Come on,
that's powerful.
Mm-hmm.
That's powerful.
That's good.
The reason why those people have more blood because they don't look at people. They're looking at Christ. They're looking at the blood. Mm-hmm. They're looking at the vineyard. They can't even look at the law. Mm-hmm. The law was inside that box, so it was covered by the blood. Mm, so they said, we're not even going to look at the law. We are made out of his mercy. We've come a part of this mercy seat.
Mm. Jesus.
And see, what's so powerful about that is that same seat is also what? The throne of God. Mm. So we bring the power and authority of God is all mixed into this mercy. Mm. So how what we think about judge, when we think about a throne, we think about who renders judgment on that throne. Right? Mm-hmm. So if that God is in us,
Jesus.
With all of that mercy, then the judgment that I'm rendering is what? Mercy.
Mercy. They render everything.
That's
right. Oh.
Woo! That's my conclusion.
That's powerful.
It's mercy. Mm. Oh, my God. Mm-hmm. Huh?
That's powerful. Because by having the nature of God, man, definitely what she said, definitely I can tweak what she said, man, because really, it's about the reflection. That you look at one another and be able to see God, man. You feel what I'm saying? It goes back to that the word koinonia, you know, speaks of fellowship, the discipleship, you know what I'm saying? So it's to the point, you know, prime example, we was getting up, no, pretty much, I won't get up, but we was just closing at 3 o'clock, at 3 o'clock crunch time. So I go somewhere and study. That's what I do. That's what I do. I study or whatnot from 3 to 4. Mm-hmm. But in this particular time or whatnot, it was this nice white couple or whatnot, this young guy, and he was buying something last minute, but he started talking about music, asking him about music, and we just, to the point, just really linked up. We really linked up, and I wasn't even thinking about the time that I supposed to be under my Bible, and God wasn't to the point, his word, his name never came up. But I still felt the presence of God by conversations. Mm. You feel what I'm saying?
Yeah.
One thing definitely what you said about, you know, when we go around, you know, we as Christians, we try to minister to everybody or try to throw somebody and put somebody word on them. You know what I'm saying? But really, having God nature, I believe it doesn't have to be with God name in it or God name coming up in them. Mm. You know, I definitely believe that God actually dwells in that conversation and that love that you have one another to one another.
That's right.
That's where God be able to show up at.
That's
you know, but you know, we come to, you know, we see somebody, we ready, like you said, throw that barber up and use it as a filter. Yeah. But, it's not even about that. And, and that's how I looked at it last night. I was like, oh, man. Because we stayed talking for like an hour.
And that's powerful.
And really, you know, after it was all done and whatnot, let him hear some of the music and whatnot. Yeah. And he was feeling it. And then he was like, you make inspiration music. He said, man, I love it, man. I love it, what y'all talking about. You know, see, God still got the praise. Mm-hmm. You feel what I'm saying? After all of it, he still got the praise.
That's right.
Man,
that's right.
You know?
That's right.
That's powerful. So powerful.
And that's powerful because you're realizing that God gets the praise by you being there. Mm. And that's what's so powerful about it. See, you don't have to wait. See, we always are looking for some moment to accomplish something.
Mm. That's it.
And I had to realize that a long time ago, had to realize that, okay, a lot of times I walk into a situation, even if I'm with an unsaved person, I don't look to give to anything to that unsaved person. Mm. I look to be just in that moment. Because it may be something that unsaved person needs to give me.
Come on.
See, and somebody else be like, you know, because they got all this word in me. Yeah. You know, okay, it's time to give this person something. He here, and I'm here. So I need to give him something. No, God in that moment may have him here and may have me here. And he may need to feed me.
That's right.
You know, that's the point. Is you being in that moment creates more than anything that you can say. You just being in that moment, being that light. God is already there. He's there by virtue of you being there.
That's
powerful. It's always powerful because we always take these moments. See, we want to be responsible for everybody. Because we're looking to be gratified in every moment, so we want to be responsible for every soul that come past us. Mm-hmm. We feel responsible, and we judge our purpose of whether we're going to be guilt. Or innocent, based on what we see. We feel better. We don't care if they go on and go on, die down, crash, or something. Long we know we said what we were supposed to say in that moment because we think everything hinges on us. But it doesn't. It starts with God. You understand what I'm saying? You understand what I'm saying? We got to learn how to relax. We got to learn how to rest and let God be in control instead of us always trying to look to handle a situation or a person or a thing. You understand what I'm saying here? And that's when it becomes growth.
Yeah, and kind of tie in what both of y'all are saying, like we had established one time before, the kingdom of God is better seen than heard. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So you just being in that conversation in the character of God. And I look at us as being the windows into heaven.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying? The heavens is able to invade the earth through us. Therefore, like you said, you just being in that moment, you are the window of heaven. You know,
right.
God is in the midst. He's in the presence.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying? And I feel like a lot of times what we do is, like you said, we have that filter of our religion, and it kind of alters the perception that we have of a person.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And I feel like, you know, really that's the definition of having a carnal mind. Is a strict religious mind.
Oh, yeah.
Because
that
a religious
is
mind is always geared towards separation instead of unity.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to look at you based on our teachings, our doctrine, which many of these traditions are man-made and not God-made.
Right.
It's many things that you have put up there. That man comes into the church with baggy jeans and a hat on, then you already deem him that he's not worthy.
That's right.
Or that he's not sanctified.
Come on,
you know what I'm saying? Because you're looking at it through the filter of your religion.
That's right.
When outer garments can never sanctify a person.
That's right.
Mm.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying? So therefore, I feel like, man, we truly have to unlearn some of those religious dogmas that we've learned.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Because only when we strip those things away are we able to see a person in the right light.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying?
That's right.
Yeah, that's how I feel, man.
Good insight. Let's get back.
Like that.
All right.
Let's go back.
That was good.
You say too much, sister.
God,
I'm for you to get in.
Maybe
there.
At this moment, it's going to go and help me. Just sit and listen.
No. Okay. No.
She learning.
I'm at peace with it.
I see you. Well, you trying not to get on tape.
This.
Worldwide.
Yeah.
Oh.
I say listen.
Okay. God said, "Let there be light."
Are we back to the light?
And there was light. Verse 4, and God saw the light that it was good, and he divided the light from the darkness. And that's powerful because the Bible's scripture, we're going to look at this light here. That we said it, the Hebrew word for it is or. It means luminous. It is spelled O-W-R. You click on that word, it's or. It means illumination or concrete, or luminary. It's in the sense of happiness. It means bright or clear. But for the Hebrews, it meant just that. It meant luminous. It's what illuminates. And that's what God literally did. He literally just flipped the lights on. He literally, he literally just brightened up. It goes back to the very root word, which means, or it means the break of day. It means glorious or kindling, like you were on fire, to set on fire. And that's powerful that he really set on fire, because the Bible talks about four things about God. God is what? God is love. You can write those down. God is love. God is light.
Light. Consumer fire.
That's right. That's right. God is a consumer fire. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all, right? God is love. You know? That's powerful. What was the fourth one? Ooh, it's getting down. What did I say? God is fire. God is a consuming fire. God is light. God is love. God is, when he was talking to the woman at the well, he said God is a what? Spirit.
Spirit, that's it, gotcha. God is love.
That's powerful. So he literally spoke what he was.